If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
Byron Reese is a speaker, an author, an entrepreneur, and a futurist, and knows a lot about AI and the future of a lot of things, and is on with us right now. Thanks for coming on, Brian. I really appreciate it.
I'm so happy to be here.
Listen, how does this work? That's what I want to know. I want to know how AI actually works. I mean, you know, first, there was a time when there wasn't any. So somebody had to concoct it. How did that happen?
So it's a simple technology, actually.
Really?
It's based on a premise where you take data about the past, you use a computer to study it, and based on the patterns it finds in that data, it makes predictions about the future. I wish it were more than that, but it isn't. It looks like it's more than that because it represents itself as a being.
Yes.
If you ask ChatGPT something, it says, I don't know. I haven't been trained. We give these things names like Alexa and Siri.
Right.
It's just patterns and data used to make projections in the future.
Well, I came across, but it has so many different forms. So many things are attributed to artificial intelligence today. I mean, I can't necessarily believe pictures of people on social media. I'm not talking about photographs. I'm talking about they're supposed to be literally. Well, yeah, I am talking about a type of photograph, but if I look at it closely, it's like, that's not really correct. And then I hear music and vocals and harmonies and instruments that are all artificial. Where do they get all that? How is that done?
Well, it's often been called high-class plagiarism. I mean, it's taking other things and remixing them.
Yeah.
The kind of the problem with the term artificial intelligence is it means two things. One is a real thing, what we have today, what's in your spam filter, what's in ChatGPT, what's in your GPS. But there's also this kind of AI called general intelligence, which is what you see in the movies, like that clip you just played.
Yeah.
And that's an AI that can do anything a person can do. And the thing about it is that's a fictional, that doesn't exist, and nobody knows how to build it.
Right.
But we make the other kind of AI, and when it says I this, and we give it names and all that, it starts to look like that other thing, but it is just Python code. And because it's Python code, that means it's math. Because it's math, it means you can write it on a whiteboard. So there's nothing magical is going to happen out of that. It's not like some formula you put on a whiteboard is going to, you know, be the next thing that moves you. It doesn't create anything. It merely, you know, looks for patterns about things in the past and uses them to make projections about the future.
Well, now there's competitors in the AI business world, I guess. Apps that are advertising, we're better than the other people. Actors in Hollywood, the name is slipping my mind right now, but started an AI company. Would one be better than the other, or are they all?
That's a great question. You know, we're at the era of AI. We would call like the command line. Do you remember the old days of the computers?
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is this week, one model is better, and next week, another one's better, and next week is another one. What's going to happen is somebody's going to come and sit above them all and say, oh, for that query, I'm going to use this one, and I'm going to compare the results from these two, and I'm going to do those. And we're not there yet. Like, this is all just new.
Right.
I do want to say one thing, though. I feel like I'm down on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in AI for like 25 years, and I never imagined I would live to see this day. I would have taken bets that I wouldn't see the amazing things we're able to do today.
You've been in AI for 25 years?
I hold patents in it. I used to host the number one AI podcast. My books on AI are in 14 languages. So I've just been in this as much as, well, not as much as anybody, but I've been in this a lot. And you can't imagine when ChatGPT came out, like everybody, all my peer group, we got on the phone with each other and we're like, what just happened?
Wow.
So we're all astonished by it. But you also have to remember it's a magic trick. And because it's a magic trick, you can still be impressed. Like, that's a really good trick. But you're not going to be wowed by it. It's not going to be something that you think, ah, this thing is alive or it's breathing. But what's going to happen very soon is people who make these kind of robot-y looking things are going to put this in it. And then, you know, it's going to smile at your jokes and tap you on the arm. And it's going to be like the worst week of my life because everybody's going to call me and say, oh, it's alive now. And it thinks and it breathes and it feels. And it's like, nope. It's still looking at data about the past, using it to find patterns and making predictions about the future.
Well, you know, in almost every sci-fi movie where there's robots and artificial humans and there's artificial intelligence, if you will, one of them always goes bad and turns on humanity. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Well, so, I will start by saying all of those AIs are played by people. Like, we don't have machines that can do that.
Right.
And nobody wants to pay $9.50 to go see the movie, which is like everything in the future is great. So they tell these stories, but they're just that. And then people start doing something called reasoning from fictional evidence. You see it enough and you think, oh, that could really happen. And it's like, well, that looks familiar. And it's like, yeah, it was a Will Smith movie last summer. We all saw it. But it's just entertainment. It's not real.
Well, I think
I'm not worried about it at all. I don't think it's going to take jobs. It's a productivity tool. Productivity tools are always good for people. Like, we should welcome this. Like, it's a great step forward.
Well, that's
anything that makes human beings more productive is good for human beings.
I didn't use that terminology, but that is exactly what my interest in AI is, really, is more productive creativity, if you will. I was trying to look upon it as a toy almost, where I could make songs, do something for the radio program, on a whim, and use it for entertainment, not necessarily, to give it out to the world, but, you know, maybe something I want to play with.
The reason people like think it's going to take jobs is just like what happened with the internet. They said, oh, that's going to eliminate the travel agents and the stockbrokers and the yellow pages. And they were right. But nobody said, oh, that's going to create eBay and Etsy and all of that. What happens is with these technologies, you can always see the jobs they'll take. But none of us are creative to understand right now all the things it's going to enable us to do. And that is always a bigger side of the equation because productivity tools are always good for people. I love technology, but I'm a humanist. I love people more.
I understand that. We'll do more with Byron Reese. He knows a lot, and we'll be back on 720 WGN. Do I have your attention? WGN with John Landecker at 747 in the middle of a mind-boggling conversation, if I do say so myself. Not from me, but from Byron Reese, speaker, author, entrepreneur, futurist. We've been talking about AI, and you're a futurist. And you've been involved in artificial intelligence for over 25 years. You've got patents. You've written books. What's next? What comes after AI?
It's going to take us a long time to internalize this. Because have you ever noticed when you do a search on Google, it tells you, you know, here's 1 to 10 of 20 million answers?
Yes.
20 million pages. You don't want that. The reason it says there's 20 million pages is that's a relic of back when we had libraries and there were books and they had pages and there were journals and all of that. What these technologies are trying to do is consolidate all human knowledge. So you don't get one of 30 million. You get one of one. We're trying to bring all human knowledge together and then allow you to have a conversation with the ages with all human knowledge. Like, this is the dawning of something amazing. And on top of that, we're connecting more and more things to the internet so that the more and more things are collecting data. And what's going to happen is you're going to have a skillet in the future when you fry food. It's going to have sensors in it. And you're like, why would I want that skillet? Well, you would want it because it's going to detect botulism in your food. And you're like, yeah, I'll pay a dollar for that. And then you'll have a toothbrush that when you brush your teeth, it's going to say, oh, you should take vitamins. You've got influenza in your mouth. And so we're putting sensors in all these things. We're collecting more and more data. And that's just going to feed the artificial intelligence for us to be able to use everybody's life experience to make everybody's life in the future better. You know, for the longest time, humanity kind of reset every generation. People grew up and they died, and then what they knew, they forgot, and then you had to relearn it and all of that. And we're finally accumulating knowledge. So I can see, like most people can, a few years out, like we're bringing all this knowledge together. But the full implication of that is who could have, when the printing press came out, or who could have seen what that was going to do ultimately? It's like you can see to a point, but not beyond it.
Yeah, but I have to say, in the limited realm of my technology, with some of that technology telling me to do something or warning me that something is happening, it ticks me off. I get mad. It's like, go away. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
why is that?
Leave me alone. it just feels intrusive. It feels like I know more than you do about what's going on with me. You know, you're artificial. I'm me. Get out of my way.
That's fair enough. You know, we shouldn't be surprised. People are like, oh, social media is doing all these bad things. Mm. And it's like, yeah, but it's brand spanking new. It's like 20 years old. It would be like saying the printing press is doing something new. When these things come out, we all have growing pains. And that's just a growing pain of us figuring out how we want to deal with it and how we want to address it and how we want it to address you and what's off limits in our lives and what makes us human. I always just think about how, you know, they still make movies about Shakespeare plays. It was 400 years ago. Mm-hmm. They still make them, and you still go see them, and you still know who a Lady Macbeth is and an Iago. Like, right. We don't change, and we're not going to change. And so we should just always remember, you know, humans we are who we are, and these are all our tools, and we want to use those tools to make our lives better.
And, you know, Shakespeare doesn't change either. And I've had this conversation, not necessarily about Shakespeare, but about movies. If some can't come up with a concrete example, but the concept is if the baseline of what it is worthy or entertaining or real or informative, it will always be that, regardless of whether it is on the radio, on the phone, on a small black and white TV, on a color television, on an HD TV, on a big movie screen, whatever. No matter what medium it is, you can't take away the, its essence, I guess. Right?
You know, the number one question I get from people is like, what should my kids study to be relevant? And you know, the one thing I guarantee you machines will never be able to do is have relationships. People do not want to have a relationship with the machine. You do not want to get a postcard from your doctor that says, hello, you have underlined cancer. Please show up at the, you know. So anything that involves person to person, that involves emotional connection, that involves like the conversation we're having, that's real, you know, it's actually people interacting. This stuff will not change at all. And this technology is, I think, only going to fundamentally make that better.
Do you think that artificial intelligence makes us think more, makes us go out of our way to think about things that maybe we didn't before, start noticing things we didn't notice before?
I don't know. That's an interesting idea. I would say that we're in so early days of it that we're still orienting ourselves. And what's interesting is it changes. It's funny because, you know, the names of the AIs don't change.
Right.
But all the things it's able to do are growing so rapidly that it's really hard to keep up with it all. Oh. So I am in this as much. People are like, should we regulate this? And it's like, I wouldn't even know how to regulate it. And I live in this world.
Right.
So we're in uncharted space. But again, remember, it's a productivity tool. Allows humans to be able to do more. That's good for humans. And human connection is what makes life worth living. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't replace any of that.
Okay. There are so many different companies and trying to sell the AI tools. Do you think is the government involved in this as far as regulation, or will it be, or what do you see in that?
I would be so surprised. Like I said, if I were, you know, dictator of the world or something, mm-hmm. I wouldn't even know what to do. So right. The idea that, you know, a divided Congress and a divided this and a divided that can somehow internalize all the complexities of this technology and chart a path forward. I'm just a little dubious that's going to happen, but I'm not worried about it either because look, productivity tools are always good for people. If you don't believe that, you should advocate for a law that says everybody needs to work with one arm tied behind their back. And if you pass that law, what would that do to jobs? Well, guess what? You just made a lot of jobs. You know, you need two people to trim your hedges now and all of that. But those jobs won't pay anything because you just destroyed everybody's productivity. Mm-hmm. And with this technology, you are just giving somebody a third arm. You're just giving them more ability. And with AI, you're giving them another brain. Like, you're empowering people. Ultimately, that's what we're doing. And it's hard to spin that as, oh, that's bad for people.
Right.
So I wish I knew how to make the future less bumpy. I don't. And even if I did, you know, I'm not sure that would influence anybody.
Oh, I don't know. I'd be interested to hear what you had to say. Byron, thank you so much for being with us. Byron Reese, tell us and the people listening how we can get your publications, videos.
I'm Byron Reese at Gmail. If you want to email me, I'm Byron Reese on every social network. I got in early and I have an odd enough name. So I would love to hear from anybody who would like to share their thoughts with me.
Well, thanks for being with us. Hope to talk to you again sometime. Thanks, Brian.
I would love that.
Byron. Byron Reese, speaker, author, entrepreneur, futurist. How many people fall under that label, futurist? And obviously somebody who's well acquainted with artificial intelligence. Some people call him the future of guy, where you would have future of and then just put something in after the of. And that's what that's about. Wow. My head is spinning a little bit.